Jason removed a small canister from his equipment belt and sprayed a coating of synth flesh over his palm. Raynar had been the misfit of their childhood group, trying a little too hard to fit in and often the butt of jokes for his arrogance and showy clothes. He had never impressed anyone as exceptional Jedi material, and there had been a few conversations in which fellow candidates had expressed reservations about his judgment and initiative. Yet what Raynar had done on the flyer, risking his own life to save those who had betrayed his friends and abducted him, was the essence of being a Jedi Knight. Floating his force light ahead of him, Jason crawled into the engineering cabin and followed Raynar's trail through a cramped maze of toppled equipment. The stench of charred bones grew stronger, and Jason feared he would only find their burned remains trapped in some dead-end corner, or simply lying in the middle of the aisle where Raynar had succumbed to smoke inhalation. His fears began to seem justified when he started to find scorched bones in the middle of the aisle. First, a few finger and toe and hand bones, then a forearm and a shin, then finally a femur. The space between the floor and ceiling grew smaller and smaller, and he had to drop to his belly, and he began to sense the residue of Raynar's panic in the Force. Then Jason came to the shoulder blade, lying half buried in a pile of dirt that had poured in through a rent in the hull, and he knew. He began to dig, pulling the soft dirt under his body and pushing it back with his feet, and a moment later, he felt a welcome draft of fresh air. Raynar had reached an exit, but in what condition? Had he survived? Had either of the others? His chest tight with hope and fear, Jason belly crawled through the hole, out into the bottom of the crater, and was surprised to find his guide waiting. In its hands, the insect held a new starfighter helmet and flight suit. Without waiting for Jason to stand, the guide offered the helmet and suit to him. Jason stood. Why would I need a starfighter helmet? Instead of taking either item, he began to brush himself off. I fly a skiff. The guide raised one of its four hands toward the crater rim, where one of the Reconstruction Police's new XJ-5 X-Wings sat with an open cockpit. The guide thrummed a long explanation, which seemed to assert that he would be much happier serving the colony in a Chasex than his skiff, which the colony was already using to ferry a group of Togot pilgrims back to the spaceport. "Why would I want to serve the colony?" Jason asked. "If the colony expects me to kill people, you'd better be able to tell me why." Jason looked up at the crater rim and was puzzled to find an image of his mother there, frowning across the gap at the flyer's blast-pocked hull. She turned to someone he could not see, then asked, "What happened to the crew?" There was a pause while she listened to the reply. His mother looked back to the flyer. "I mean the rest of the crew. We know Raynar survived." Jason had his answer, but he was not ready to release the vision, not yet. He looked up at his mother's image, reaching out to her in the Force to strengthen their contact. "Hello." Her gaze dropped toward Jason's voice. Then she furrowed her brow and reached out as though grasping for someone's arm. "Jason has been here." "Has." So they were still behind him. The guide snapped its mandibles next to Jason's ear. "No one. Sorry." Continuing to hold the vision through the Force, Jason finally took the helmet and flight suit. "Okay. Where am I going?" The guide replied that Jason wouldn't recognize the name of the system. It was on the Chiss frontier. "Humor me, in case something happens and I need to find my own way." The navigator spread its antennae. It answered.
"Jason?" His mother's face grew pale. "How? You're not."
"I'm fine, Mom," he said. "I'll see you soon. Korribu, in the Gyul system."